Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Unforgiving people are people who are miserable.
You know how they say we only use 10% of our brains? I think we only use 10% of our hearts.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
What's his deal?
Right now, there are hundreds of thousands of married couples who are scratching their head and wondering how their marriage got in such a state of disrepair. That might be your story right now, and if it is, we're really glad that you've joined us for today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast. Parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns is going to help you start to heal your marriage and put you in the direction with one simple word, and it's the F word. Forgiveness. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. What you're about to hear, actually, I'm in the studios at Homeward at APU along with Ben Camp, our engineer. What you're about to hear is a conversation that Jim had with a group of parents and a group of married couples through a video presentation the Church Communication Network did a number of years ago. And so now here's part one of Healing Your Marriage with Forgiveness.
I was thinking back to a story, and I haven't shared this story for so long, but it's a story about a woman named Corrie Ten Boom. Some of you in here might know who Corrie Ten Boom was. Corrie Ten Boom was now passed on. I had the chance to get to actually be with Corrie Ten Boom kind of before she died. Quite a woman. Incredible saint, if you would, of a woman. And when she was younger, much younger, she would actually hide Jews during the World War II experience, and she got caught. And so in, I believe it was 1947, Corrie and most of her family got sent to concentration camps. Most of her family died there. And I think it was 1947 that Corrie was sent to Auschwitz. I've actually been to Auschwitz in Poland, and it is still kind of just an eerie place. And here was this woman who, as a Christian, not necessarily as a Jew, but as a Christian, because she had hidden Jews, was sent there with other people. And when the war ended, she was released from prison. Her sister had actually, very close to her, had actually died in prison. And Corrie was now going from church to church, oftentimes in places like Germany or Holland or other places, and she was speaking on the issue of forgiveness because in many ways they were trying to reconcile what was going on, and people had such intense feelings, so I'm told, I wasn't around then, but you know, such intense feelings at the time. One particular night, she was speaking at a church on the issue of forgiveness and reconciliation and the healing aspect of the German church. She finished her talk and, you know, as would be, people lined up to talk with her. And she could see out of the corner of her eye somebody who she recognized, but she didn't know how she recognized him. And it was a tall man. And then she looked into his eyes. You can do this, you know, where you're having a conversation with one person, but you're kind of staring at this person. And all of a sudden she remembered who he was. It was the German guard who had been actually the cruelest to her. She remembered the times when she walked in front of him naked, as they would do that all the time because they would search them naked and they abused some of these women. Remembered that it was the place where there were terrible remarks and actually some physical abuse. Then as she looked at this man, she said, this was the man who held her sister in his arms as she died at the hands of him. It wasn't a caress or a nurture. It was a death experience. And she said, God, what am I going to say to this person? Now, she had just been speaking on forgiveness and the healing. Finally, she prayed and she said, God, I can't forgive him and I don't have the power within me to do that. But if you will help me, I will, you know, raise my hand and shake his, but I really don't know what I'm going to say. The man walked up and instead of greeting her with, you know, warmth, he just said, I'm a Christian now and I've come to ask for your forgiveness. I know that God has forgiven me, but would you forgive me? Well, you know, chills came on her back and she didn't know what to do. And she prayed that same prayer again. She said, God raised my hand so that I can shake his hand, but I don't have the strength to do it. And then from her prayer, she felt a warmth, she said. I'm not sure what that warmth was like, but she placed her hand out and she said, I forgive you, brother. And we are brother and sister. And in that handshake, there was amazing healing between a prison guard who had in some ways abused her and many others and her. They had become brother and sister in Christ. Now that is an incredible illustration, if you would, of forgiveness. And what I want to say is forgiveness, God's forgiveness especially, is staggering, okay? The reason it's staggering is because it goes absolutely against the grain of human nature. You know, I'm constantly amazed at the number of times in the Bible that we deal with grace and forgiveness. And yet I'm constantly amazed in my own humanness of times when I don't have the tendency to forgive as God has forgiven. Now, forgiveness is perhaps the strongest element to transform a broken relationship. I was talking earlier saying that Kathy and I have what we call a high maintenance marriage, and a lot of times in a high maintenance marriage, we have the issue of forgiveness. Or in marriages, and I've seen this in my own marriage, 32 years plus, where there'll be low-level bitterness or low-level resentment, sometimes over small things, but because there had not been forgiveness that it begins to boil, and all of a sudden I realize our relationship isn't intimate anymore. And because Kathy and I both came from dysfunctional families, we really didn't have the model of how to do intimacy. And it was very possible for us to, you know, have an okay physical relationship and yet at the same time not experience the kind of intimacy that we had really hoped for. Now, I think some of the finest relationships that I know have been revived from the dead, okay, because the people had the courage to forgive. There's great power in forgiveness. Research shows us that relationships that are destroyed by resentment or bitterness or anger can be changed by the power of forgiveness. And so again, this is a key issue. Couples, for example, who are able to go beyond the pain of put-downs, beyond the pain of forgetfulness, beyond the pain of being rude, of negativity, of abusive remarks, just some of the basics, even beyond affairs. Couples have had their relationship healed because of this power of forgiveness. It is possible. It's not usually easy to extend forgiveness. It's almost always one of the most difficult things we'll have to do, but it is there, and it is possible. The Bible says this, and it's a key verse that I want you to think about as we walk through this. It says in Ephesians 4:32, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ has forgiven you." Well, it's hard to extend a hand and forgive somebody. It's hard to extend a hand and forgive our spouse because the person who probably has done the most to us in some ways, where we can be closest at times, but is our spouse. We know the good, the bad, and the very ugly of our spouse, and sometimes it's not easy to give. In fact, it's interesting because the gospel is called offensive, and I've never been able to figure out why the gospel is called offensive because, you know, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever calls on him would not perish." I mean, what's so offensive about that? God is love. God loves you. You know, all these different things. I mean, that's not necessarily offensive. But you know where I find offense? I find offense, and I think one of the reasons why it's hard for us sometimes to forgive is because there is offense in grace and mercy, unmerited favor, because it goes against human nature, see. So sometimes there are people who have been married for a long time and they just continue to hold grudges or they hold things against each other and they don't feel the intimacy and their kids feel it and life is there and, you know, it's just a negative thing. So actually I have three simple points today and these, if you are doing this, these three simple points are frankly an affirmation to you. A lot of times when you come to something where we're talking about marriage or talking about relationships, you know, we get blasted because none of us have the right relationships. But for you, this may actually be, you know, something that you've done and is something that is helpful to you. This is actually very personal for me because it's kind of my process of going through forgiveness. But, you know, the first one is simply live like you're forgiven because you are. Live like you're forgiven because you are. I want to give you three scriptures. Sometimes, if you've been listening to these broadcasts, I don't give as much scripture as some people would want, but this is almost, you know, in some ways, a more of a message when it comes to it. And the scripture is so very clear. In 1 John 1:9, it's a very famous scripture. It says, "But if you confess your sins to God, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness." That's pretty neat, okay? Secondly, Isaiah 1:18 says, "No matter how deep the strain of your sins, I can remove it. I can make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you white as wool." That's God speaking. Okay, that's pretty incredible. The last one is found in Psalm 103. It's kind of a familiar one, 11 and 12. It says, "As high as the heaven is over the earth, so strong is his love to those who fear him." It says, "As far as the sun rises from the sunset, he has separated us from our sins." You know, a man and a woman came to me, Homeward does marriage retreats, and a man and woman came to me at a recent Homeward marriage retreat, and they were very broken. I don't know what we had been talking about. I think we were talking about intimacy issues. They were very, very broken. And so in that brokenness, they said, could we talk privately for a bit? So we just went to the side. It was actually a pretty quick break, so there were people kind of all around. And they said, we both struggle with this intimacy issue. And he said, it's not something that my wife doesn't know, but you know, I've continued to fail her. I've continued to fail her where I've had some affairs. I continue to do the wrong thing. And he said, I actually go to God and I ask God for forgiveness, but I keep blowing it. And then he said something to me, as people were kind of even around listening to some of this, and he said, so personal, he said, can I continue to go to him after I've continued to fail God? And then he looked at his wife, she has tears in her eyes, and continue to go to my wife after this? And I remembered something that Max Lucado had said, and I kind of paraphrased it, but I said, pardon my bluntness here, but you didn't deserve to be forgiven the first time you came to God. But God's ways are different than our ways. And so you keep coming to the well because God continues to forgive you. It's not my way, it's probably not her way, but it's God's way. And so there is incredible, incredible power, if you would, in the issue of forgiveness in a relationship. And yet a lot of us have a hard time doing that. Max Lucado, again, said, be healed by God's staggering words of love and acceptance. He went on to say, live like it. Because you've been forgiven, forget taking shortcuts on the road. He knows the way. He drew the map. He'll take you toward health and healing. And you know, in many ways, I want to say that to you. And it may be your marriage, and that's what we're focusing on today in many ways, but it could also be a relationship with a spouse. It could be a relationship with someone else, or not just spouse, but your kids. It could be a relationship with someone in your world, your boss, your parents. But if you're living a life that does not offer forgiveness, then you're probably living a life that is not all that God wants you to have. And so, again, the point would simply be, live like you're forgiven because you are. Now, even people who live like they're forgiven actually are able to give grace better. And that's actually the second point here. Get out of the judgment business. Okay. Again, I see this all the time in marriages. In terms of marriage counseling, I'll hear people say, my spouse, and they're always pointing at my spouse. I wish my spouse would do that. There's not much you can do about your spouse because basically there's only one person that can make a difference in your relationship, and that's you. It's not your spouse. Even if your spouse is a great person, your spouse is a lousy person, whatever the story is, you're the one who can make the difference. And I'm actually convinced that one person can make enough of a difference to sometimes pull their spouse into a more healthy type of a relationship. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, confess your sins of your spouse. Confess the sins of your kids. Confess the sins of your boss. It actually says, confess your sins. The scripture is quite clear. Jesus said it in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? And so oftentimes we're trying to help our spouse pull it together. We're trying to tell them what is wrong with them when in fact we've got this major log in our own eye. So sure, they've got a speck, and maybe it's a growing speck, but that's not our job. It's their job. Right in front of that scripture, it says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. This is basically the principle. The principle is this. The other person may be as wrong can be, but I'll not be the judge.
Amen to that. And it's great wisdom from Dr. Jim Burns and Roger Marsh here back in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. And you can learn more about that at apu.edu or just go to homeward.com. We have a link there today. You notice the slight difference in tonal quality of Jim's recording there. That's actually a presentation that Jim gave on healing your marriage with forgiveness through the Church Communication Network, CCN. And if you'd like more information on how you can get the full-length audio edition of that broadcast, just visit our online resource center at homeward.com.
I was writing this book, Creating an Intimate Marriage, and it's actually one of my favorite books I've ever written. I think it's also one of my most important books I've ever written. And for some people who write books, they understand that you send in your material and you actually do it by the amount of words. You kind of sign a contract saying, I will send in 50,000 words, 60,000 words, whatever it may be. And so I had made a contract that I would send in so many words. I was a little short, about 5,000 words, which is basically a chapter, but I sent it in anyway because I pretty much had given him everything I could give him, and I thought it was done. The publisher called back and said, wonderful book. Wonderful input. We think you need one more chapter. And that's something that writers don't want to hear after you've poured out your life. It's not like almost like giving birth to a baby or something. And you've kind of, there you go. It's not like, okay, one more chapter. Some of the women are saying, yeah, right. It's like giving birth to a baby. But I realize I feel your pain. But I thought, you know what, there's one more chapter that I need to write, and it was on forgiveness, on this issue that we're talking about. And the reason was because I'd gone all around the intimacy issue, but I hadn't directly faced the forgiveness issue. And so what was interesting about it is I took that scripture found in Ephesians, be kind and loving to each other and forgive each other as God forgave you in Christ. I just kind of wrote it there. And then I thought, now, how about me? How am I doing in the forgiveness issue? Because, you know, I'll talk about it. And I went, you know what? I'm holding some resentment for Kathy right now. Not that you would have noticed in the house, and I'm not even sure the kids would have noticed, but I think there was some low-level resentment on my part toward Kathy. And it was kind of a silly reason. What had happened was Kathy had become the co-chair of the Dana Hills High School grad night situation. And I was resenting her because she was really busy and she was on the phone all the time, and she was actually putting together a grad night that was different than a lot of grad nights. It wasn't a Christian grad night, but she had all the youth workers in the area come, and instead of doing some of the kind of off-the-wall type stuff, it was just pure fun. But she was so involved in this that I'd say, how are you doing? And she'd say, it's grad night time. And she kept asking me for more time to keep working within the grad night thing as well. And I realized I needed to forgive her, but I was flat out resenting her, and I was doing it by pouting. My way of doing it is I pout, you know, I kind of crawl into the cave. And so, you know, that's me. And now I've got to write a chapter to people on creating an intimate marriage and talk about forgiveness when I really didn't feel forgiveness. One day I was trying to work on it and it was just blocked and it wasn't happening, when all of a sudden I went, you know, Jim, you are probably the most arrogant person I have ever known. And this conversation in my head helped me kind of think through it, because I went, what had happened was that morning, I do a thing every day where I write adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, and I confess my sins to God. And so, you know, I confess the big sins, I confess the little sins, I try to be cleansed by that, and I believe that if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins, like we said. So here I am asking God to forgive me of my sins, and I'm arrogant enough to not forgive Kathy of what I thought was, or perceived, was a sin in her life. And by me looking at it that way, I realized, you know what, I am incredibly arrogant about that. And I think there's some people here who might be watching. I think there's some people here in this studio who at times might be arrogant. So arrogant that we'll say, God, forgive me. But then when it gets to the judgment business, we then continue to judge others when we're asking God not to judge us. Because if He judges us on our own merit, we're in big trouble. And so in many ways, God's forgiveness is the opposite of keeping us arrogant. How about you? Are any of you paralyzed in a relationship because of you've harbored a lack of forgiveness? Is there anybody in here who, even though this is not an easy subject or not an easy issue, actually isn't intimate with your spouse? And again, I'm not talking about physical, but not together with your spouse because of the issue of forgiveness. Okay, I think there may be. Thinking about a couple who I know very well, and the husband and the wife had been married for over 20 years. In a small group one day, the husband, who was very active in his church, the wife was active in the church, she actually had an alcohol problem, but you know, most people don't understand that. There's alcoholism in the church. She was a functioning alcoholic, but it was beginning to affect some of the kids. He had shared this with his support group, and in his support group, he said, you know, there's something else I need to say. I wasn't a Christian when I became a married man, and during the first 5 years of my marriage, he said to his support group, I had some multiple affairs. They were sexual, but they weren't emotional in nature, because I was traveling a lot and I would go to another city and I would hook up with somebody and we'd have our little fling. And then sometimes I would go back to that city and I continued to have some relationships, but it wasn't emotional. It was just about sex. Well, the support group talked and talked, and he finally said, you know what, I would like to share this with my wife. I think we're strong enough right now to take this. I don't think she was strong enough when we first started, and you know, I've been hiding it, and you know, it's something where I need to be freed from this. This man had really been growing in his faith. So he set a time with his wife, and he said, this is going to be really tough. They went away so they could kind of really deal with this, and she didn't know what was going on. But she knew something was very much on his heart, and he said, here's the deal. For the last 15 years, I've been absolutely faithful to you. And that has been since becoming a Christian. But the first 5 years, I had multiple affairs. Well, you know, as any of us would feel, it totally threw her back. She screamed, she shouted, she cried, she actually hit on his chest. And I've actually been in relationships where I've been in a counseling situation where I've seen that happen when they share in front of the counselor. She went ballistic, which she had every right to do. And he asked for forgiveness. He begged for forgiveness. And she said no. And so from that day on, she was separated from him and went through a pretty messy divorce, which, you know, is sad but true. She gave him no grace. Now, I'm not saying he was right. I'm just saying that now in the situation, she is one bitter lady. She moves into the alcohol thing a little bit more. She has the kids. She tells everybody what's gone on and makes him look horrible, but also there was a consequence for what the decisions that he had made 15 years prior. Well, the story goes on to say that what was amazing was he got well. And he, through the small group in many ways, and through his church, he found forgiveness. Is there a pain in his heart? Yes. Is he divorced from his wife? Yes. Do the children struggle, you know, kind of going both ways? Sure. In fact, the children started moving more toward him because in his healing, he was doing fine. She continued to be bitter. She continued to be angry. She continued to drink. She continued to, you know, not offer any forgiveness. And we're not talking now about reconciliation. We're just saying here was one bitter lady who had every right to be angry, but yet now her life was falling apart. See. Well, one day, and I'd spent quite a bit of time with him during this process, our mall is not very far from us, and kind of everybody, you know, sees each other at the mall. So I'm at the mall, and I see her. And I know that she is angry as all get out, but I thought, you know, I'm going to go up to her. And with some pastoral care, I went up to her, and I put my hand on her arm as we were kind of chatting at first, and I said, you know, I'm so sorry. And she looked at me, and she said, how can you stand to be in his presence? And it was almost like then she almost like spit. I mean, she was so angry. And then she gave me a litany of other sins in his life that I wasn't his priest confessor, so I didn't know all of those, and they were brutal. And she went on to describe that night when he had told her all these stories and, you know, how terrible it was. And I said, I am so sorry. And I said, I'm sorry how much it's affected you, and I do not stand by him. And I don't think what he did so many years ago was right. Please hear that. There are consequences, and he's experiencing it now. I said, but I'm actually a little concerned for you because you seem to be so angry and so bitter that it's causing you to be a person who's filled with so much anger that, you know, you seem so much hurting that you're not able to continue on almost. And she looked at me. I've never had anybody say this before. She stepped back. People would have thought we were, you know, like almost like a husband and wife because we were, you know, close to each other talking. And she screamed at the top of her lungs, Jim Burns, you can go to hell. And she went away. Now, I was stunned. I don't think anybody ever told me that before. And I'm kind of like, oh, now I'm in the middle of the mall. And this lady's just said that. But quite quickly, I realized that she was going to hold on to her bitterness. Now, the interesting side to the story is when we begin the story, he's wrong. He made mistakes. But what he did was he went to the Garden of Grace, he walked in the Garden of Grace, and he's now, interesting enough, in ministry, sharing his pain very openly and vulnerably. On the other hand, she lives in bitterness. Her kids and his kids, three of them, guess where they spend time? They have moved over to his side, he's now remarried, and they've moved over to his side and his family, and this woman is a lonely, bitter woman. Okay. The interesting side that I'm saying, and the reason I use this illustration is because your story may not be as difficult, but again, the truth is that what she needed to do was not necessarily be reconciled if that's not where it was going. I mean, I would pray for reconciliation. But what she needed to do was release this and not be the judge. Let God be the judge. Because here's a woman who's going to live probably the rest of her life miserable and bitter while her husband walks in the Garden of Grace. Unforgiving people are people who are miserable.
That's a powerful insight from Dr. Jim Burns, and it brings us to the conclusion of today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast. But we're just getting warmed up, though. Jim's not going to leave you with a cliffhanger here. On the next edition of the program, you will hear part two of Jim's talk on healing your marriage with forgiveness. Jim has written extensively on this topic of forgiveness in his books, Creating an Intimate Marriage, also the devotional book he and Kathy wrote called Closer. If you'd like information on how to order a copy of either of those books, you can do so through our Homeward Online Resource Center at homeward.com, and when you do, portion of the proceeds go to support our ministry. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.